It's a great delight to join you around the world for the Perry Stone Manifest telecast. We've been on television now well over 22 years. Can you believe that? When we started, I was a little bit thinner with dark hair. And sometimes you'll see a program which goes back not a long time, but maybe a few years back, and my hair is black. So I just want you to know it's going to stay the color it is now for my dear friends who said, please keep it gray. I think the gray-headed folks want me to keep it gray. Okay, we're going to do that for you. But anyway, on a more serious note, there's something I call the Babylon cipher that I'm going to cover a little bit today. And I love the book of Daniel. When I was a young man, I was just in my teens, and I was starting in the ministry. One of the things I asked the Lord when I was 16 years of age was to give me the same spirit of understanding that he gave a young man in Babylon by the name of Daniel, who was probably 17 years of age when he was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar's armies into the nation, the city of Babylon, which was at that time the headquarters of the Babylonian Empire. And I prayed that for years. And so I fell in love with the mysteries of the Bible. And I actually fell in love with Bible prophecy after going to Israel my very first time. I think it was about 1985 or 86. It's been a long time since that happened. But I want to focus on a book that a lot of people do not study. When we talk about prophecy, most prophecy preachers are in the four Gospels, the New Testament, pulling out some scriptures about ancient Israel being restored and the land being restored. But they skip Daniel, because let me tell you, Daniel can be a complicated book if you don't have somebody teaching to show you how all the symbolism comes together. So that's what we do. And we're going to have by the way, at the end of the program, a very special offer for you to help you understand this much better than probably maybe you do now. So, in the book of Daniel, it reveals this. Number one, it reveals the order of prophetic empires from Babylon all the way to the rise of the Roman Empire. The second thing the book does is it reveals the rise of the Antichrist Empire, very specifically as a little horn that rises and uproots 10 horns. That's a leader who uprules three leaders of three nations, Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia, and then replaces them with his own leaders, and then 10 kings identified with the symbolism of 10 horns. Horns represent authority and power and leadership. Will align themselves with the Antichrist. And so this is this little image behind me. We'll go to that next week probably, but it has 10 toes, and those 10 toes represent 10 kings. And the beast has 10 horns. Those are the same 10 kings, and they arise at the end of days. They're not here yet. They're not organized under the Antichrist as yet. That happens in the future. Well, the book of Daniel also alludes to the tribulation, a time of trouble such as was not since there was a nation nor ever shall be. And it mentions time, times, and dividing of time. Now, that's a little complicated to understand. Time is 1 year. Times is double or 2 years. So we'll do this. 1 year, 2 years, and a dividing of time would be 6 months. So that's 3.5 years, which is found both in the book of Daniel and also in the book of Revelation as it relates to the amount of time the Antichrist will form the eighth and final kingdom. Now, another thing that Daniel indicates, and I love studying this, and sometimes during our prophetic summits, I'll delve into some of the teachings that you find in the book of Daniel relating to the kingdom of God. But Daniel also reveals in a vision that he had the kingdom of God and the saints of God that would come back to earth in the future to rule and reign with the Messiah. So let's go to the historical setting, a little bit of the book of Daniel, to help give you a better understanding a little bit about the book itself. In the book of Daniel itself, we find what has happened is this, that there was an Assyrian Empire. Under the Assyrian Empire, the 12 tribes of Israel were scattered. The 10 northern tribes were taken captive and were literally scattered not only in Assyria, but throughout the world. They're called the Lost Tribes of Israel. And two tribes remained in the land, Benjamin and Judah. Both of those two remained in the land, and their headquarters at that time, of course, was the city of Jerusalem. So Babylon, under King Nebuchadnezzar, defeated the Assyrians, and he actually became a leader of his own empire. So you had the Assyrian Empire, And you have the Babylonians coming and swallowing up the territory of the Assyrian Empire. So the old Babylonian Empire, and I like to use the nations that exist today to help you understand the actual location, would be where Lebanon and Syria and Iraq connect. That's the ancient Babylonian Empire. And of course, the headquarters was a city that was built before Nebuchadnezzar, but Nebuchadnezzar came in and just expanded it and made it massive with hanging gardens and all these other things. And it would be known as Babylon, and the empire would be known as the Babylonian Empire. Now, what is interesting is that it would be the Babylonian Empire that would be the first empire to actually destroy the city of Jerusalem, destroy the temple, take the treasures of the Jewish temple back to Babylon, and then capture the Jewish people in Jerusalem and bringing them into captivity under his rule. We're speaking now under the rule of King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Now, the reason for the invasion of the Babylonians to come into Jerusalem and to defeat it and destroy it, number one, Babylon owed a debt, a very heavy financial debt, and by invading the temple and taking the gold and silver out, it increased their economic value, because it was a kingdom represented in Daniel chapter 2 on the image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream as a head of gold. And they had a lot of gold in ancient Babylon, especially the treasures of the temple that were carried away by the Babylonian armies that were predominantly made of gold. Isaiah predicted this invasion was coming after King Hezekiah showed the Babylonian men all the secret places of his palace and all the treasures of the temple. And this is what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 39:67. Behold, the days come that all that is in your house and that which thy fathers had laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from you, which thou shalt begot, shall they take away. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Now, this is real interesting, because I want to show you two historical aspects of Isaiah's prophecy. One is this. Nebuchadnezzar invaded three times the area. In 606 B.C., then again in 598 B.C., that's before the birth of Christ, and then in the third invasion is when he went into Jerusalem and took people in Jerusalem captive. Nebuchadnezzar took the temple vessels, which were worth, today they'd be worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, and he took them back to Babylon. This is found in 2 Kings 24:13, 2 Chronicles 36:10. Then it says that there would be young men that would be made eunuchs. Now, a eunuch was someone that they physically did something to so that they could not have sexual relations. Or a eunuch could be someone who chose never to be married and never to know a woman, but served many times in a palace or the palace of a king. So Nebuchadnezzar selected four young men from Judea to teach the Chaldean language to them so that they could communicate to the Jewish people. This is one of the assignments of four men. Now, they are named in the book of Daniel. They are Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, but they were renamed by Babylonians' names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, it's interesting, and I want to point this out to you because I thought this was extremely fascinating, that if you look at the name Daniel, Daniel never used the name Belteshazzar, which was the Babylonian name that was given to him by the king. He used his name, I, Daniel. All through the book of Daniel, he uses Daniel, which is his Hebrew name. Now, the book of 2 Chronicles tells you why the captivity took place. And those who escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, that the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths as long as she lay desolate. She kept Sabbath to fulfill 7 years. So what this talks about is there is a law in the book of Leviticus of Shemitah cycles. Every 50 year, there was to be no farming. Actually, the trumpets were blown on the 49th year. So the 50th year, no farming, the animals rested, and the land rested that entire year. Israel did not obey that. So Jeremiah 25:11 said, here's your problem. Because you did not keep the Shemitah cycles, God is going to allow you to go into captivity for 70 years to the king of Babylon. Now, why the number 70? Because there were 10 commandments Israel broke. In Leviticus 26 and verse 18, in fact, four times in Leviticus, God says if Israel disobeyed him, they would be punished seven times. If you take the 10 commandments, they are punished seven times for each commandment they broke, or 10 times 7 equals 70. And so this is why they were taken into Babylon captivity. Now, here's what is interesting, that they were there for a period of 70 years, right? And what happened was there were a number of Jews who died in Babylon that were never able to return, but there were others that survived in Babylon, and they actually were able to return. Daniel was one of those who ended up dying in the city of Babylon. Now, let's look at this very carefully, because we're going to look at what we call the names of those men who became eunuchs that the Bible talks about in the book of Daniel, who are, we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. However, if you look at the names given to them in the Babylonian language, okay, Daniel in Hebrew means God is my judge. They called him Belshazzar, which is, and I said Belteshazzar earlier, that was the king, but they called him that, which means the treasurer of Baal. Then Hananiah means God is gracious. They renamed him a Babylonian name of Shadrach, which means the messenger of Aku. Then Mishael came, and his name means who is like God. And they called him Meshach, which means who is Aku. These were idol gods, actually, in Babylon. And then Azariah, his Hebrew name means God is help. They named him Abednego, which is a worshiper of the god Nego. So here we have these names which are given to them. Now, again, I want to say this, that Daniel used his name Daniel, which is his Hebrew name, 75 times, so it kind of tells you what he thought about all these Babylonian names, okay? In Daniel 1 and 11, there was a man called Melzar, who was the prince of the eunuchs, who loved Daniel greatly. He thought Daniel was the greatest thing. He was handsome, smart, wise, and he really helped take care of these young men as well. You have Nebuchadnezzar, who is the early king of Babylon, and he's in the first part of the book of Daniel. Then in Daniel 5 and 1, another king is taken over called Belshazzar, who is the king of Babylon. And he is actually the last, one of the last kings, because the Medes and Persians took over after this king saw the handwriting on the wall. Now in the book of Daniel, and we're giving you a big summary here, throughout the book of Daniel, from chapter 1 to chapter 12, two angels are occasionally mentioned in the book of Daniel. One is the angel Gabriel, mentioned in chapter 8, verse 16, and chapter 9, 21. The other is called Michael the archangel, who is mentioned in Daniel 10, 13, verse 21, and also Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. These two angels, Michael, who was a warring prince, Gabriel, who is the angel of revelation, bringing revelation from God's word, especially anything related to prophecy, these two angels are active throughout the book of Daniel. Now, Daniel is called a prophet. He was a teenager when he was carried away by King Nebuchadnezzar. He was from the area of Judah. Of course, the tribe of Judah was the tribe where the king's seed, those who were kings of Judah, were born. He was intelligent. He taught young men he was actually being taught the Chaldean language, according to scholars. So in 1 and 3, Daniel is of the king of Judah's seed. And in other words, he was connected to the king by birth. Daniel also may have been a eunuch based on Isaiah 39:7, the sons of Judah shall be eunuchs in the king's palace. Now that prophecy was way over 100 years before this event ever happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel. So it's very interesting. So Daniel's three friends were trained for about 3 years, and they all sat at the king's table to learn the Babylonian system, the Babylonian economy, the Chaldean language, and all these other things. The thing you need to know about Daniel is this. He was not a compromiser. He would not drink any wine of the that the king made. He would not eat any meat which was sacrificed to the idols. And he was always praying. He would pray up to 3 times a day. Daniel had a gift that exalted him in the king's palace. Because anytime there was a prophetic dream, like Daniel chapter 2, and the wise men could not interpret it, they would ask Daniel to interpret the dream. As a matter of fact, his gift of interpreting dreams is alluded to 3 times in the book of Daniel. In chapter 2, which is the dream of the metallic image, chapter 4, which is the dream of the tree stump that remained in the earth, and Daniel chapter 5, which is the handwriting on the wall. Daniel unequivocally is called beloved of God in the book of Daniel by the angel Gabriel. He had great favor with God and he had great help from the angelic assistance that God provided to him in Babylon. And you can read about that in Daniel chapter 8 and also chapter 9. Now, when it comes to the book of Daniel itself, here's what you need to know. Daniel actually was written in the early part up to chapter 2. 1 and 2 is written in Hebrew, and then it starts picking up midways into Aramaic, and it goes from Aramaic beginning in parts of chapter 2 to chapter 8. So it's written in two languages, Hebrew and Aramaic, all right? Daniel, in his book, deals with 7 prophetic time periods that begin with Babylon and end in the Great Tribulation period with the return of the Messiah, whose imagery is a stone coming cut out without hands, crashing down on the kingdoms of this world at the very end of time. The third thing is Daniel covers a period of 2,600 years of history from Babylon to the time of the end. Now, we're using that 2,600 years in a broad sense. So, in other words, he will take you from the history of Babylon all the way to the time of the end when the Messiah returns. And this is why he's called an apocalyptic book. He definitely complements the book of Revelation because John in Revelation uses some of the same symbolism that Daniel used in the book of Daniel. And Daniel wrote the book of Daniel hundreds, probably 600 years or more before the book of Revelation was written. Now, in the 12 chapters which are in the book of Daniel, there are 5 different chapters that relate to prophetic alignments and also to the time of the end. The first dream in chapter 2 is the metallic image, which we'll get into on the next program next week. The second dream is Daniel 4, which is a stump of brass with a band around it that remains in the earth. That is in a teaching I did, and we won't get into that in the program. Then in Daniel 7, the 4 great beasts arising from the great sea. That is the third vision. Then there is a vision in Daniel 8 of the he-goat and the ram, and how they battle one another, and they represent the leadership of 2 major empires of prophecy that have already been fulfilled. The 5th vision, which is very important to us today, is Daniel chapter 9, which is called the prophecy of the 70 weeks. And in the prophecy of 70 weeks in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, the Antichrist confirms a covenant with many for 1 week, which is 7 years. But then in the midst of that week, or in the midst of the 7, after the first 3.5 years have ended, he comes in and makes the sacrifice to cease. And then comes that time of trouble that Daniel chapter 12 mentions, which was not, since there was a nation, nor ever shall be, which is, according to the New Testament, the time called the Great Tribulation, which will happen in the future. Now, in the revelation of these chapters, they give you the order of prophetic empires from Babylon to Rome to the last 10 kings that will rule with the Antichrist. This is all in the book of Daniel. It's amazing. They also give you a revelation of the final kingdom, which is ruled by the Antichrist and his 10 kings. And they give this huge description. You have to go all over the book, which I have done for you in my teaching, which I'm going to talk about. I've done this for you so you don't have to spend days like I did doing it. And it gives you every detail of the Antichrist there in the book of Daniel. So the Antichrist then forms a final kingdom. In Revelation, it's called the 8th kingdom, ruling for 42 months. He forms it with 10 kings, which is a coalition. And that coalition rules the known world for 42 months. And then at the end of those 42 months, which is at the end of 7 years total, at the end of that time period, which is the end of the tribulation, the Messiah returns in the days of those 10 kings, and he sets up his kingdom. So Daniel saw these empires that were going to affect Jerusalem and the Jewish people, and he saw it from Babylon. Now, the area of Babylon is the cradle of civilization. It is the upper headquarters for Satan in the atmosphere. Go to my teaching a couple weeks ago. I'll teach that to you. Babel, Genesis 11, was the first global government, first world religion. Three of the four prophetic empires have ruled from Babylon. It's the future headquarters for the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the first 42 months of the tribulation period. Now, let me say something to you. There is so much to teach in the book of Daniel and so much detail that I did a teaching on two DVDs with props, edited with maps, that literally took 4 hours to do. It is a great personal study. It is a great home study. It is a great Bible study. And if you want to know every detail about what's going to happen in the future as it relates to this man called the Antichrist and the tribulation, you say, well, I've heard that taught all my life. I will guarantee you there's some things in this teaching that you've not put together, because you've got to put Revelation and Daniel both together at times to get the full teaching. So what I've done, I have made available a teaching that I did some time ago. And I feel like we have millions of new viewers on Manifest, and you need to get this teaching, the Daniel Cipher, Unlocking the Daniel Cipher. And here's how you do it. Please keep watching and watch to the end for some special announcements I have to give.
Does prophetic symbolism of beasts and horns confuse you? Do you question what is coming and how it impacts you? Perry's prophetic offer is a detailed teaching from the apocalyptic book of Daniel, Unsealing the Daniel Cipher, a 2-DVD, 4-hour prophetic series using maps, charts, graphics, and props, with numerous scriptures to illustrate this urgent right now teaching. Many of your complicated questions will be answered after viewing this series. Perry unlocks the concealed cipher in the book of Daniel, linking it with the book of Revelation. Perry explains Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar's visions and dreams, which revealed the future. He will detail the Antichrist symbolism, his headquarters, and formation of a final kingdom. Perry also explains which nations will eventually fall and how frightened citizens will flee their country. He will list and expound upon numerous individual plots and plans of the future beast system. Learn the nations that will suffer the most when Daniel's visions are unsealed on the earth. Discover the identity of the 10 horns and the nations that unite as a dangerous force at the time of the end. Receive new understanding as Perry explains the meaning of specific Aramaic and Hebrew words. See how the West and East will be divided and how Islam and Christianity come into play. Understand how the Antichrist will arise from one of four nations as described in Daniel's vision. Perry explains the dream of the tree stump, which most ministers seldom teach. Discover these insights and so much more. This teaching is a spiritual investment into life-changing knowledge. The offer 2DV101 is available for a donation of $30 or more, which helps keep Manifest coming to you each week. Order now by calling 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. Or go online to perrystone.org. You can also order the 2-DVD set by writing and sending a check to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. This entire teaching is also available as video on demand by visiting our website. We look forward to hearing from you today.
Well, the offer that we're offering is Unlocking the Daniel Cipher. Man, this was an outline. You know, most of my outlines when I go to a conference with you are 4 pages. I mean, some of these outlines are 30, 40, 50 pages that I had to use when we taped this. We taped it in the studio. We had all those really cool props. Cool's an old word. I know that. My daughter reminds me of that. She's 22. She's come up with a different word, Dad. But I'm old school. Everything's cool or not cool. And the content is very, very deep. It will answer a lot of questions that have been asked me over the years. So I designed these teachings to answer your questions that you have sent me in email and letters. And sometimes when I'm out eating with folks in person, hey, Perry, what about that? What does that verse mean? What do you think that word means, etc.? So get this 4 hours of teaching and really enjoy it. And you're going to come back knowing something, and knowledge is going to be increased in your life. Let me just share a few things with you that's very, very important. And that has to do with relationship to the Voice of Evangelism or the Perry Stone Ministries. We have been ministering now for about 47 years, going on 48 years. It really doesn't seem that long, but it has been that long. June the 22nd of this year, I will be 65 years of age. Someone asked me recently, when do you plan on retiring? And the answer is, I do not. My dad died at 78, but he had never retired. He was continuing to preach until he lost his eyesight and he was no longer able to travel because of his health. My intention is to be able, with God's help, of course, to do more for God than I've ever done in my life. Now, they tell you statistically that your life doesn't really begin, ready for this, till you're over 50 years of age. They also tell you statistically that the 60s, from about 60 to 70, is the best time of your life. You've raised your kids, you're enjoying your grandbabies, you're maybe borderline retiring, but you're still able to physically work. And this, if you're that age, many of our partners are, we want you to plan on coming to every conference you can, to drive into every place that you can, and be with us. Now, when we go to places like I should say the Huntsville Church in Huntsville, Texas, we usually have a partners meeting in the afternoon, sometimes on a Saturday, sometimes on Sunday. When we come to Huntington, West Virginia, we have a partners meeting. Usually, if I'm not mistaken, I think we do that one either Saturday before the night service or Sunday. Sometimes we determine when we get there. When we go to places like Louisville, Kentucky, everybody knows we have, and I think that one might be Saturday between the Saturday morning and Saturday night service, or before the Saturday night service, we have a partners meeting. What that means is, if you're a partner of our ministry, we personally invite you to meet Pam and I. We sign books for you, because we don't do these book signings during the meeting because we don't have time. We've got to preach, eat, come back and preach. So if you partner with us, please remember, if you come to some of these locations where it's a weekend, we try to meet personally with those who are partners of our ministry. And so I want to thank all those who partner with Voice of Evangelism to get the gospel out around the world. We are on television in Romania, translated into Romania, in Russia, translated into Russian, in parts of the Ukraine. We are literally in Israel. We are literally all over the world. And many of you have made it possible. The second thing I appreciate is your prayer. And that means so much, and it's helped kept us going over these years. All right, real quick, let me just give you a couple places. 18th to the 21st of July, Evangel World Prayer Center in Louisville, Kentucky, for our big conference there. Don't miss that one. And then we're coming to Life Church in Charleston, Arkansas, August the 4th. Family Faith Willis Campus and Family Faith Huntsville Campus, August the 16th, 17th, and 18th. PerryStone.org, look up the itinerary, and we hope to see you.